California heats up, social distancing dries up. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Beaches across California are closed, but some of them were packed with people yesterday as temperatures soared into the 90s in some spots. Fox 11 in Los Angeles says some 40,000 people showed up at Newport Beach, many defying social distancing guidelines put in place because of the coronavirus. Currently, there's no date to ease the statewide lockdown.
We're not, by any stretch of the imagination, in a position to say that those six indicators to which we make our determination about the future of our stay-at-home orders, that any new lights are yet green.
Governor Gavin Newsom. Protesters out in force Friday in Wisconsin's capital as the governor extends stay-at-home orders to late May.
They tell us they understand why it's in place, but they think it's far too reaching. The economy and small businesses are being crushed. Madison's public health department and the mayor both encourage protesters not to gather.
Fox's Matt Finn. Thanks for visiting. Now go home. That's the message from the Hawaii Tourism Authority as the agency pays people to leave. $25,000 has been set aside for the costs of sending tourists away if they refuse to comply with Hawaii's 14-day quarantine. Officials say so far, 19 people have been flown home. More loan applications could start being processed on Monday as President Trump signs another stimulus bill designed in part to help small businesses.
There's growing concern among lawmakers about how the payroll protection program's initial $350 billion in funding was distributed, with a number of large companies getting massive loans while many small businesses were left waiting in line while that money ran out.
Fox's Garrett Tenney. America's listening to Fox News.
It's a very confusing and stressful time right now, especially for our wounded and ill veterans and their caregivers. Practice social distancing, wash your hands frequently, and stay at home to avoid exposure. If you don't have symptoms or have questions, use secure messaging through My Healthy Vet or the VA telehealth service. If you develop symptoms, please call your local VA facility. We will get through this. For more details, visit va.gov/coronavirus.
This is a community and a geography starkly split.
Fox Nation takes you back inside the fight that has spanned over a century and defined a region. Now, Pete Hegseth returns to the Holy Land, exploring new ground on both sides of the disputed border.
I wish Arabs and Jews could live together.
We used to be exactly the same.
Learning that this fight is more personal than we think. Don't miss Season 3 of Battle in the Holy Land. Available now, only on Fox Nation.
Welcome to the Gun Show, where we talk about pistols, revolvers, rifles, shotguns, ammunition, concealed carry, personal defense training, and attacks on our beloved Second Amendment right to protect ourselves and our families. Folks, this morning, as always, we're going to open our phone lines to answer your firearms, ammunition, and personal defense questions. And we're going to go ahead, in the meantime, we're going to be talking with Dee Wampler. And he's going to join us and talk once again about the NRA wasting more of our membership money. Then local attorney and firearms dealer Craig Heidemann will join us to talk about reloading. Then I'll be closing out the show talking with Judge Rusty Johnson about the overreach of our federal and local governments during the COVID-19 crisis. Before we get to this morning's topics, I want to let you know that we're proud to have U.S. Law Shield as a sponsor. They want to help us help you better protect yourself and your family. U.S. Law Shield, they're your legal defense for your self-defense. Because you know, if you own a gun and you must defend yourself, you'll need U.S. Law Shield. When you join U.S. Law Shield, you'll have 24/7 emergency access to an attorney when you need it most. At U.S. Law Shield, you'll pay zero attorney's fees for criminal or civil proceedings for covered events, even for appeals. U.S. Law Shield has no caps or copays. Every U.S. Law Shield member gets the best defense program in the country for only $10.95 a month. That's $10.95 a month. Go to our website, mattkenobi.com, and click on the direct link to U.S. Law Shield and sign up today. Remember, your freedom and your family's financial future depend on it. We also want to take a moment to let you know that our next $40 CCW class, that's the lowest price in town, is Saturday, May 30th. And we have $50 practical handgun, rifle, active shooter, and home defense firearms courses available. Go to our website, mattkenobi.com, to sign up for any of our courses. And while you're there, check out some of our free text training tips. Also, if you want to contact us this morning, you can go to our radio show website, thegunshowradio.com, or you can email me at matt@mattkenobi.com, and you can call or even text us this morning right here in the studio at 417-447-5743. That's 447-5743. All right, now we're going to segue right into our local calls for Shots Heard, always brought to you by my very good friend, Dee Wampler and Joe Passanisi, as well as our great friends, Terry and Brenda, at A Advanced Bail Bonds. Now, folks, it's kind of amazing, but this week we have had a total of 38 calls for shots fired. That's 38 calls for shots fired. Now, this spans the distance from Saturday, April 18th, to Friday, April 24th. Now, at that pace, 38 calls for shots fired every week, that adds up to 456 per year. So let that sink in for a moment. Our first call for shot fired on Saturday, there was only one call, and it was at the 1500 block of North Farmer Avenue. Now, on Sunday, we had six calls for shots fired. The first was at the 1700 block of North Calhoun Avenue. The second was at the intersection of South National Avenue and East Battlefield Road. The third was in the 1400 block of West Norton Road. The fifth was at the 200 block of East Atlantic Street. The sixth was at the 300 block of East Chestnut Street. And then finally, the sixth was at the 1600 block of Brower Street. On Monday, believe it or not, folks, we had 11 calls for shots fired. First call was at the 2600 block of East Chestnut Expressway. The second, 2900 block of West High Street. The third, the 1800 block of North Broadway. The fourth at the 1000 block of West Chase Street. The next one was at the 800 block of South Douglas Avenue. The next one at the 900 block of West Monroe. After that, the 600 block of South Peachtree Avenue. Then we had another call for shots fired at the West Poplar Street and North Broadway Avenue intersection. Then again at the North National Avenue and East Scott Street. Another one at the East Gasconade Street and South Brunswick Avenue intersection. Then finally at the 3600 block of South Bedford Avenue. Now on Tuesday, we backed off a little bit and only had three. One at the 1800 block of East Cherry Street. Second was at the West Division Street and North Bypass intersection. And finally, the third of Tuesday was in the 3500 block of East Gasconade Street. On Wednesday, we had three again. First one was at the 1400 block of East Whiteside Street. Second was in the 3200 block of East Independence Street. And the third for Wednesday was the 3400 block of East Independence Street once again. Then we move on to Thursday. Thursday, we only had two. Praise God for that. First was at the 700 block of West Central Street. The second was at the East Atlantic Street and North National Avenue intersection. Friday, it was shootout at the OK Corral. We had 12 calls for shots fired. First was at the 2300 block of North Howard Road or Howard Avenue. Second was at West Mount Vernon Street and South Lexington Avenue. Then that's within the 1600 block of West Belmont Street. After that, we had another one at the 2300 block of North Kettle Avenue. Then we had one at the 2200 block of North National Avenue. After that, the 800 block of North Warren Avenue. After that, West Calhoun Street and North Warren Avenue. After that, we had West Walnut Street and South Fort Avenue. After that, the 2100 block of South Oak Grove Avenue. After that, the 1000 block of North Concord Avenue. Then we had one at the 600 block of West Nichols Avenue. And then finally, we had another one at the 600 block of West Nichols Street. Folks, we've ate up so much time. I need to step into a break and pick up this on the other side. Before I do so, again, we had a call for calls to 38 calls for shots fired this week. That totaled up to 456 per year. Folks, crime is on the increase. You need to better protect yourself and your family. Do so with the right training that we offer at Canovian Associates. Be ready for it. Don't think you're going to get away from it. It's here to stay. All you can do is train and get ready for it. I want you to think about that as we step into a break and we pick it up on the other side. I'm Matt Canovi. This is your Gun Show. Folks, welcome back. Before we went to the break, we talked about the rash of calls for shots fired here in the Springfield metro area. A lot of people believe that it's been attributed to the fact that people get cabin fever when they're cooped up too long. All of a sudden, people's emotions start to fray. Things happen. It could be that, or it just could be there's an increase in drug activity and criminal activity afoot. The bottom line is this increased violence is here to stay. Dee, I know that you've grown up here in the Springfield metro area, and I've given these locations, and it appears to me that they're pretty much throughout the entire Springfield city limits. Is there any safe place anymore in the city of Springfield?
No, not really. People over the last couple of months are very insecure. We're trying in not only locally but nationwide to provide the balance between safety on the one hand and freedom on the other. Our preamble says that the government will help ensure domestic tranquility and promote the general welfare and provide a more perfect union. That's what we, the people, are doing. The problem is, you know, right now, people are cooped up. We have this Chinese virus. We never did get an apology from the Chinese communists that have spread this throughout the world. And it's terrible. I mean, this is a natural consequence. It's an unfortunate consequence, Matt. 52 weeks in the year at 38 shots fired just this last week. Well, that's almost 2,000 shots fired. In a year's time. Lots of illegal gun cases going on, drug deals, car thefts, stealing offenses, break-ins at businesses, not at homes necessarily because people are at home, but now the burglars are going to businesses. And it's a scourge. I mean, the drug situation nationwide as well as our little local community is a scourge. What's going on, and most of these shootings, directly or indirectly, are related to drugs. So that's my comment on that.
Well, without a doubt. Now, Dee, and I want to let our listeners know, Dee's segment is brought to you by my very good friend, former firearms student and great Christian business owner, Scott Estes, and his knowledgeable staff at Wildcat Tool Rental. Go to wildcattoolrental.com for all your tool rental needs. Now, I know, Dee, the NRA is back in the news, wasting more of our membership money. What are they doing?
Well, it's terrible. This organization, originally back in the 1870s, a great organization to promote gun safety and to encourage people to exercise their Second Amendment rights. And I think money is corrupting. In fact, I know that in the NRA, the money is corrupting. They have 5,000 members. And incidentally, the newest organization, Gun Owners of America, they have 2 million. So, I kind of encourage people to, I don't really discourage them from joining the NRA, but the Gun Owners of America seems to be a little bit cleaner organization right now, and it's an up-and-comer. Wayne LaPierre announced last week in his Shooters Illustrated, I think one of the magazines that they produce, that they're going to have an important announcement very soon. And they spent $100 million in the last year and a half on legal expenses. So whoever the lawyers are for the NRA, they're the fat cats. And then they found that LaPierre spent between a quarter of a million, I think, and a half a million dollars on travel, on clothing, and on other expenses, which he didn't really account for. And that's always a bad sign. So they really spent more money than they have taken in the last year. So at this rate, well, their outgo exceeds their income. So their upkeep is going to be their downfall. That's a famous economic rule, and that's what's going on with the NRA right now. And Matt, one other thing I wanted to mention: in December of last year, the U.S. Supreme Court heard the argument on a Second Amendment case, and the NRA was involved in that case. Fortunately, they filed briefs, and we're expecting a decision, Matt, in June, and that's the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus the City of New York, because in the City of New York, they passed the law that you couldn't take a gun outside the city limits. And then once they got challenged on it, well, they repealed the ordinance. But the NRA is trying to hold their feet to the fire and the Gun Owners of America. So the only thing I can say is, folks, pretty soon the essential businesses are going to be expanded, and hopefully people can get out of their homes. And this is outrageous. Your figures on 38 shots fired, Matt, that's a record. That's never occurred before in our city's history. And it's just a terrible indictment right now. People need to calm down, put their guns away. People are getting hurt. People are getting shot and killed. People are getting killed and crippled forever over drug deals. All you have to do is just stay in tune with the news on television, radio, and print. And you see that this is going on in our community. So right now, crime is a growth industry. Of all the industries we have in this city, it seems to me like crime seems to be number one. So I wish I had something more positive to say, Matt, but let's otherwise try to enjoy a rainy day.
Well, Dee, the positive is the negative, and here's what I mean by that. The positive being the negative is everything that's been happening, and the drug-related crime increase, the calls for 38 calls for shots heard. But the positive is that this should pop the light bulb above everybody's head who's listening that, hey, it's time for me to take my personal defense seriously. It's not just in my home in case bad guys break in. I actually need a gun on me all the time so I can protect my family and myself wherever I'm at. So we need to make sure we get the training, get the equipment, and how to use the equipment in the proper training, tactical training, so that we can better protect ourselves and our families inside the home and outside the home. That's why we really focus on this calls for shots fired. It's not to alarm people, it's to awaken people. So, folks, I want you to go ahead. I'm going to say goodbye to Dee Wamper. I'm going to step into a break. On the other side of the break, we're going to pick it up with Craig Heidemann. He's going to be talking about reloading and how it can help and benefit you in your personal defense and your personal defense training. So we're going to step into a break. Stick around with us on the other side. I'm Matt Canovey. And remember, this is your gun show on 104.1 KSGF Springfield's News Talk FM.
folks, welcome back. We've got Craig Heidemann going to talk about reloading. Before we throw it over the mic over to Craig, I do need to let you know that Craig's segment is brought to you by my very good friend, former firearms student, and again, a great Christian business owner, Don Carricker at IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com. Go to IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com because you know darn good and well you do. Craig, thanks so much for joining us this morning. You're going to talk to our listeners about reloading. I know I've been reloading since the early 80s, and it has saved me thousands of dollars and enhanced my ability to train and practice live fire drills at my range.
You know, economy has always been an important justification for reloading, Matt. When you can cut your ammo costs by up to half or even twice as much as that if you're shooting for the same outlay, or even more if you're shooting an expensive rifle like .338 Lapua or some of those Wildcat cartridges, there is an economic advantage to becoming a reloader. Performance is another reason, top reason for reloading, because you can make ammunition that's customized for your firearm as opposed to a one-size-fits-all factory load that you might otherwise use. You might have options to shoot bullets of different weights than you could even get from factory ammunition. And if you'd like to experiment to see how different ammunition accuracy varies in your firearm by varying, for instance, the muzzle velocity, you can do that too. So there's a wide variety of benefits you can achieve through reloading. The other thing is people don't understand the sense of personal satisfaction that comes from reloading, making your own ammunition. It's a great hobby, and when you're cooped up inside the house like we've been here in Springfield and Greene County during the zombie apocalypse, reloading a few thousand rounds of ammunition is a great way to kill some time. So when we think about reloading, for those folks that don't understand metallic cartridge reloading, I just wanted to back up and kind of give you a little rundown on what's all involved. So I'm calling in today from my reloading cave here at the house, and as I look around to try and explain to somebody what reloading is all about, the first thing it starts with is the metallic cartridge. So we all know that when we go to the range, you know, I'll jiggle a box, a little tub of brass here, empty cartridges. So when you go to the range and you see all these empty cartridges laying around, what do people do with them afterwards? Well, the rangers will sweep them up, sort them, clean them, and either sell them to reloaders or recycle the brass in the case of the 22 shells. You take those dirty cases and you clean them up, push that primer out of it, clean the primer pocket, inspect it, make sure it doesn't need to be trimmed back down to length. Most pistol cartridges don't. Pistol reloading is super simple. And you take your cartridge, put a new primer in it, load it up with some powder, seat a bullet on it, crimp it down, check it for size, and you're ready to fire. Now, I've oversimplified that process, but when you think about it, 9mm ammunition, which is the most ubiquitous ammunition out there, is hard to find. I've had people calling me nearly daily looking for 9mm ammunition. It's just not available. I'll give a shout out to Brent at 417 Guns. He's had a pretty good supply of it streaming in, so if you're interested in buying it in case lots, he's got some available. But for reloaders, bullets are still available. I was able to get for some clients probably about 10,000 9mm bullets. So there's no excuse for running out of training ammunition during the zombie apocalypse if you've got a reloading press. And financially, it's easy to get into reloading. If you want to dip your toe in, you can get into an entire reloading kit that has everything that you need other than cartridges, bullets, and powder and primers for under the price of a decent pistol. There's manufacturers out there that vary from Lee to Hornady to RCBS, and you can get into a reloading kit, like I said, for less than a price of a decent pistol. So anywhere from $200 to probably a max of $500, you can get an entire single-stage reloading press. Now, when you're shooting competition, as we have here in the house, maybe you're going to get yourself a progressive reloading press. Progressive presses are super cool because they basically can do up to five or six even operations at once. So every time you pull the handle, it's taking a completed cartridge and, you know, spitting it out into your bin. And that is a very satisfying sound if you've never heard it. So, again, we've got several reasons that folks might want to hand load to make sure that you're never dependent on a manufacturer for bullet availability. Look where we're at right now, folks. If you were low on ammunition or out of ammunition, if you've got the capability to reload, you don't have to depend on Federal or Hornady or Remington to supply your ammunition. You can make your own. You can be self-sufficient. Accuracy, being able to control the muzzle velocity of the bullet is the first step to achieving accuracy. Without accurate ammunition, it doesn't matter how accurate your rifle is. And every rifle has different barrel harmonics, so it's going to perform better or worse depending on how fast the bullet's traveling. And if you go buy off-the-rack factory ammo, you basically have no control over that beyond what you get. And then the personal satisfaction. You know, I can remember I got into reloading with my dad growing up, standing next to him at his reloading bench, handing him bullets or cleaning cases or organizing things. And he taught me important life lessons like safety. You have to be safe when you're reloading, and patience and diligence. So all of those things kind of come with the reloading process. And I encourage folks, if you're interested in getting a reloading kit, give us a call here at the Arms Concierge at 417-224-4335, and we can talk with you some more about it.
Craig, thanks so much. I appreciate your insight. And my biggest benefit that I've gotten from the fact that I reload is the savings in the cost savings, which allows me to practice even more the techniques that I've developed. And that in and of itself should be a motivator to our listeners. Even though you do get the personal satisfaction you mentioned and the feeling of confidence knowing that no matter what happens outside, I can still make my own ammunition and be prepared for whatever's coming and continue my training and eat up some spare time like we all have on our hands right now. And I have to agree with you. Great minds think alike. You're the greater mind than I. That's what I've been doing since I've been cooped up. I must have reloaded 600-700 rounds of ammo just because I've got nothing else to do. So I go out to my garage and just start reloading ammo, preparing for better weather days so I can go ahead out to the range and utilize it. Craig, thanks so much. I appreciate everything you do and everything you bring to the show. Folks, I'm going to step into a break. We're going to pick it up on the other side. I'm going to have Judge Rusty Johnson. He's going to talk about the overreach of the federal government and local governments during this COVID-19 crisis. So stick around through the break. Folks, I'm Matt Canovi, and as always, this is your Gun Show on 104.1 KSGF Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. We're down to the last segment of the show, and this last segment is always brought to you by my very good friends at U.S. Law Shield. Remember, they're your legal defense for your self-defense. Now, I've got Judge Rusty Johnson on the line. He's going to talk about what I believe, and I know he believes as well, is the overreach of our federal and local governments during this COVID-19 crisis. Judge, thanks so much for calling in. What's the weather like down in Mobile, Alabama?
Matt, it's beautiful, kind of warm and sunny, so I guess that means the COVID virus, the communist Chinese virus, is going to die out in the sunshine.
Well, amen. It's kind of like all evil dies out when light comes out. So
exactly. They melt like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Well, amen, and should, and I'm glad you called it what it is. This is the Chinese virus. The
Absolutely.
Chinese have definitely started this darn thing. And it's wreaking its havoc throughout the world. Go ahead.
No question about it. Matt, here's a typical overreach in our state. You know, we have these, every state, the governors, who we always relied on to protect us from the federal government, have turned out to be worse than the petty bureaucrats at the Department of Motor Vehicles line, you know, that love to jack you around when you're on your lunch break. What our latest order from the governor says, further, to the extent a provision in this supplemental proclamation conflicts with any provision in state law, that law is hereby suspended for the duration of this state of emergency. Well, of course, our Article 1, Section 21 of Alabama's Constitution says that no power of suspending laws shall be exercised except by the legislature. And the legislature hadn't been convened. And we've got police, going around threatening people. I would love to see if they, they're letting all the rapists and criminals out of the jails and penitentiaries, but they're arresting people, for driving down the street. I'd like to see what criminal sanction they cite you for when you're being arrested. Because, it's happening everywhere. You and I have talked about it 100 times. The government has no duty to protect us from anything, except foreign invasion, perhaps. But they've taken this nanny state approach that, we're going to save you from a virus when, of course, a virus has never been stopped in the past. It's not going to be stopped. And instead, they have wrecked the economy of all the good people in Missouri and every other state in the country. It's just really unbelievable.
Well, Judge, let me jump in here because I, as an analyst, and I was a certified criminal intelligence analyst for 5 years, as an analyst, I see a pattern. And when the pattern, you talk about governors of states, I've noticed that the Democratic governors of states, those from the Democratic Party who are governors of states, they're the ones who want to extend out this control over their constituents. Now, am I seeing a pattern of their mentality and their focus on controlling the people and preventing and dominating them and controlling their lives? Or just something that my paranoid mind is picking up on?
I think you are. The problem that I saw is when this first, 3 or 4 weeks ago really started kicking in, a number of Republican governors, ours being one, the one in Georgia, Florida, et cetera, they said they weren't going to enter into these draconian, they call them stay-at-home orders, which are just crazy. But the press, being the national press and our local press, frankly, here, being an arm of the state or the Democratic Party, they beat these people up so bad and said there's going to be blood on your hands if you don't do something, blah, 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 that most of them caved in. And, we've got a few states out west, thank goodness, Montana being one, where they haven't done this type thing. But, Matt, what they're doing is they're using state of emergency powers, sometimes that were granted after 9/11 and sometimes in the Cold War, to deal with insurrections, violence, and biological warfare. They're not using the old quarantine laws.
Okay. Go ahead, Judge.
They're not using the old quarantine health laws because that requires kind of a due process. You have to be sick, and most of the time a probate judge has to declare your home, your business, your area, quarantine. They're just doing it wholesale to healthy people. And that's
Judge, let me jump in because I've got a lot of advertisers on my show, great people. And, of course, they're concerned about the livelihood and the health of the community. But my thought always is, what authority does the state legislators or the governor have to randomly say, your business cannot be open, and I am taking away your right to life, liberty, and a pursuit of property? I mean, where do they get their authority to violate the federal constitution as well as most state constitutions?
They get their authority because, frankly, we have judges that are spineless, and, you can get away with things if nobody will stop the illegal activity from happening. And a judge in Louisville, Kentucky, y'all can find the order pretty easy, issued an order, and I think it's called Tree of, I can't think of the name, I've got it right here, but he issued a scathing order ripping up the Louisville mayor's order that you couldn't have drive-in church services on Easter. It's called On Fire Christian Center Incorporated. You can find that on the internet real easy. I mean, he just tears them a new one. But, you know, if you can get away with it. And one thing, one group I want to call on is we've got a large group of people, and you may have been part of it, so was I preferably, the Oath Keepers. Remember they said, we will not enforce unconstitutional or illegal orders because we've taken an oath. And that oath doesn't just apply to seizing guns. They have sworn an oath to their federal and their state constitutions not to enforce unconstitutional laws. And yet, many are. And
well, Judge, let me jump in because I know we've only got a few minutes left. Yep. And here's my biggest concern. And that is, this is setting a bad precedent. Because now the government, power corrupts. The more power they have, the more corrupt they become. If this worked one time, they can now say, well, we've got to do it again, and they'll expand that out. It just is that just my paranoia coming out?
No, you're absolutely right. It's never been done like this. It was not done like this in the 1918 flu pandemic. And, you know, this is the first time anything like this has been done. You know, we see occasionally when there's a natural disaster, they go overboard. But on a scale like this, and to have the press acting as their amen corner is really disturbing.
Well, it's something that we need to, as citizens, and not as peasants, but as citizens, to understand and realize.
Citizens, not subjects, right?
Yeah, there it is. And why is it that the state legislators who we elect to represent us and our feelings, why aren't they standing up to these governors who are overreaching their authority and saying, no, you can't do that? And where are the sheriffs who stand up and say, hey, look,
is an impeachment resolution. And then some of sheriffs, you know, in the West have said they weren't enforcing these. Well, that's good. But, you know, it's still not like removing them from the records, the statute.
Well, yeah. And it's like you said, if our legislators that we elect to go to Jeff City and go down into the state of Alabama's state seat, it's if they're not standing up and holding the governor's feet to the fire, the governor will just continue to expand out their authority and their control until they're stopped. It's like you said, going back to my police career, the thug on the corner, if you don't stand up to him, he'll just keep taking everything he can take until you
Absolutely.
Finally push back. And that's the thug yep. mentality, and I see that throughout our government system. Go ahead.
I do too. People are. You and I talked about this briefly, so I'll say it here. I think we have way too many people in the country that, you know, basically are quasi-atheists. They're so afraid of death that they don't understand there's paradise waiting for them on the other side if they accept Jesus Christ
Amen,
as their
brother.
Lord and Savior. And they're so terrified of death. Please save me, government, from death.
Amen, brother. You said it right. And that's one of the things I've talked about previously on this show is the fact that if you're truly saved and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why do you fear going into the next life? That's your reward. And it says that right there in Scripture.
Right, but I've told you, my only concern is, you know, the method of getting there. I don't want to be run over by a truck and lay in the street for 24 hours half dead. But, you know, getting to heaven is the best part. But I think we have way too many people, especially in the medical community and the scientific community, that they pay lip service, if at all, to the fact that there's a God.
Well, and it goes back to, I think, the root of all of this overreach and the root of government taking over is the fact that the communists years ago in the 50s said that they were going to go ahead and take over America and destroy America because they were going to go ahead, take God out of the schools, take God out of the cultures, destroy the family, and eventually through the schools and the previous two, take over America and bring its downfall, and they have. So that adds credence to what you said about the fact that so many people are no longer believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and heaven is their ultimate reward.
And as I told you, I don't want to judge anybody, but just because churches may be filled doesn't mean they're filled with Christians. There are a lot of people that go, at, you know, for other reasons, for comfort, for show, for, you know, habit or whatever. But the communists saw the United States was the last bastion of Christendom. And, boy, they have come down on it, and they did it through the schools, through the colleges especially. And it's been working. We need a revival here. That's what it's going to take, because we're not going to stop this virus. You and I may have already had it, or we may get it in October. Who knows? But if we get it, we get it, you know.
Well, and it's a sad commentary that people lean on the government to protect them. Our founding fathers, they never, ever, in the original Constitution and the amendments thereof, I don't think there was anything in there that said the government is here to protect the citizens from viruses or natural disasters. That's not what freedom is about. Freedom is, I give you the freedom to take care of yourself and to the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and property, but you take the risks that go along with those freedoms. Am I saying
that really? Their only job was to protect our freedoms, and that's it. Protect our freedoms, and they have not done that. They've done on the contrary to that.
Has this ever happened before?
The government has
overreached.
You can get fairly close to it in World War One with President Wilson, when he enacted the Espionage Act, when people were arrested and prosecuted for making speeches saying that the draft and the war, World War One, were not a good idea, which it wasn't a good idea. And people were prosecuted, and the Supreme Court upheld it. And part of those laws are still in the books, too. But
how about the Civil War with Abraham Lincoln? Did he overreach the authority of the federal government?
All these draconian laws, anytime the government argues they're constitutional, they all point back to Abraham Lincoln, arresting political opponents, closing down newspapers, declaring martial law in counties and cities in the North. Yeah, you can all point back to him. And he kept saying, My responsibility is to preserve the government of the United States. No, it was to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, which is something completely different than the government.
Well, so this example of overreach of the government goes back to Abraham Lincoln, then goes into Woodrow Wilson, and also Franklin Delano Roosevelt, yep, with his internment camps and the things he did. A lot of the things he did violated the Constitution as well.
Oh, correct. You know, the number one person pushing the internment camps was later left-wing attorney general at the time, governor of California, Earl Warren. He was pushing the internment camps. Then he later was appointed to the Supreme Court as Chief Justice, became the most liberal member of the Supreme Court. I guess it was a guilty conscience.
absolutely incredible, Judge. And that's my concern is that evil, if you don't stand up to it, it just gets worse and takes over more. And that's my biggest concern here.
And, Matt, why do we believe what any of the governments say? Do you know January 17th, the FDA sent a letter to the people that make Purell, Gojo Industries, and said, you have misleading labeling on your product. Prove scientifically that it kills viruses, germs, et cetera. That's right before the pandemic. And after that, after the pandemic started, they just completely forgot about that, didn't they? But they were pushing them at the time, saying, prove it kills viruses. And now, have you heard anybody suggest it doesn't kill viruses? Of course not. The government's
no, it's incredible, and this is my big concern. And I know we've only got 1 minute left, Judge. So I want you to make a closing statement, and then I'll take us out. Go ahead.
Well, remember what we. And I'm not saying this to advocate any kind of violence. Of course, violence never. Well, sometimes it accomplishes something. Ballot box does, but Jefferson said, God forbid we should ever be 20 years without such a rebellion. The Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And, you know, what he meant is we need a renewal every generation. People now don't even know where their freedoms come from. That's God, not the government.
Amen, brother. Amen to that. Can't say it any better. Ms. Producer, how much time do we have left? Amen. Folks, I want you to think about what we've talked about in this show. I want you to go ahead and think about reloading to help enhance your physical training for your firearms usage. I want you to think about the overreach of the government. I want you to think about the increase in gun violence here in the Springfield metro area by criminals. I want to go ahead and take a moment to thank our producer, Dee Wampler, Craig Heideman, Judge Rusty Johnson. I want to thank you, our listeners and our callers. I'm Matt Kinnell. This is your Gun Show, because we really are here to help you stay safe out there. So stay tuned.